It's good to see everybody this morning. What a great medley. Wasn't that just phenomenal? Louise, thank you so much for that. We just appreciate that blessing so much this morning. Several different things we want to cover, but for those who may be visiting this morning, my name is Grant Willett. I'm the associate pastor. Brad Little and his wife Barb are on vacation right now. So for this month, we have the opportunity to do a couple things differently. So I'm going to speak this week. Then for the next 2 weeks in a row, we have a great privilege of hearing one of our godly men, Ron Powell, come to speak and to bring to us from God's Word what he's laid on his heart. And then on the 28th of August, I'm going to wrap it up for the month, and then we look forward to Brad being back with us. But before we get any further into our service, I just want to invite you to participate with me for just a second. And on Friday night, there was a couple that had an anniversary, and they did a special celebration of that anniversary, and they were here setting up VBS. The Wolfleys are that special couple. So Wes and Terry, if you would stand, where are you at? Wes, are they out decorating still? Yep, they're downstairs. She's downstairs, okay. So if you would just recognize them. But for everybody that's going to help and participate in VBS, would you just stand at this time? I just want to offer a prayer of dedication for our week, okay? Could everybody that's going to help in VBS just stand? Okay, that's great. And there are actually more people than this. Some are serving in nursery and teaching children's church and such right now too. But let's just start our week off with a prayer of dedication. Father, we just thank you for this theme, Submerge. It's new to us this year. It's an awesome curriculum. We are looking forward to just throwing ourselves into it with the hopes that children might hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and that they would discover Jesus as their personal Savior. So for these people who are standing, for those who are other places serving right now, Lord, we just pray your hand on them, that they would be prepared each day, that they would be walking in the Spirit each day, and Father, that you would be glorified throughout this week. And we thank you for your blessings, and we thank you in advance because we know you are constantly working. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, I want to talk about a couple different things this morning. The title of my message is Proof of Life. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And as I sat and prepared for this, Brad had given us the assignment of speaking on the Holy Spirit. And today I'm just going to try to introduce this, but I want to take us to the place that we can actually get this started and we understand where ground zero is, so to speak. But how many people here so far are enjoying the Olympics? Anybody here enjoying the Olympics? Isn't it great? Aren't those people just amazing? It was beautiful. Opening exercises were great. That was cool. But you see these athletes, these highly skilled, finely tuned athletes doing their stuff. It's inspirational, isn't it? Does anybody here think, you know, you're sitting there watching TV, does it inspire you to get up off the couch? I did the 10-step sprint to the kitchen the other day. It was awesome. I did the dance around the dog, right? It's like you got all kinds of great things and motivation that we're getting out of this, right? And you look at the freedom and the investment and what's been poured into these 2-3 weeks of time, and you go, wow, this is an unbelievable outpouring of the world as it comes together. Or most of it. See, there are some people that aren't at the Olympics this week. They're not allowed. Someone told them they're a different class of person. You know, there's a young man, and actually there's about 6 camps in North Korea. If you ever want to fire my father-in-law up, he fought in the war, the Korean War. If you ever want to fire him up, talk about North Korea. His blood pressure goes through the roof. That country sent him a gold medal a few years ago and a nice letter that accompanied it. And they thanked him for his sacrifice because they would not have the freedom that they have in South Korea if he had not been willing to go and possibly lay down his life. And of the 220-some men that were in his unit, he was one of 2 that walked out. There were a few that were wounded, but other than that, everybody paid the ultimate price. So I think of these Olympics, I see the gold medals, I go, hey, this is great. I know the U.S. is looking to maybe hit 1,000 gold medals this week. This Olympics, that would be really cool. But there's lots of countries that have got medals, but don't you just find yourself cheering for everybody? Right? You see these unbelievable people go out there and they do this, and it doesn't really matter what country they come from. You just look at it and go, oh, that is inspirational. That is so fantastic. And that's one of the things I look forward to is these great stories as they come back. But this one story I want to tell you is a young man. He was born into this incredibly oppressive, overbearing, dark place. It was all he knew. Fear was constant, his companion. Torture, executions, routine. This was part of his existence. He knew nothing else in all his life. And the reason was, he was born into a prison camp. In this prison camp, this is Camp 14 I'm talking about specifically, there's approximately 15,000 people there, and the greatest percentage of people residing in that camp now today are children. It just rips your heart out when you think about this. But the thing that's so exciting about this story is that this young man, he was in this camp and for 20 years didn't know anything other than what he has been told. There were those who did and those who carried guns to make sure you did it. And if you didn't do something they liked, they beat you. Right? That's what he knew. Then one day, a new gentleman comes into the camp. He had lived in the free world. He had lived a free life. And something had gone wrong, and he was captured by the government, and he was sentenced to time in this prison camp. But when he got to that camp, he did something there for those prisoners who had known nothing else. He shared what freedom was like. So, one of the young men befriended him, and as they talked, over time, they found themselves together out on a far part of the compound, and they were gathering firewood, and they took advantage of the opportunity to try and escape. Many had tried and failed. But that young man, who had known freedom and was now a prisoner, threw his body on the electrified barbed wire and spent his life so that that young man who was born into freedom for the first time in his life, born into prison for the first time in his life, could be free. Isn't that an amazing story? Folks, that's us. That's us. When we are born into the prison of fallenness. We are born with spiritually being separated from a holy and righteous God. And someone has to break into this prison that we're born into and pay the price and set us free. And that person is Jesus Christ. So after God does that for us, what happens next? But I don't want anybody to get lost here, okay? One thing happens before the next. In Ephesians 13 to 14, I'm going to read these verses and we're going to have it up on the screen here for you. But in verses 13 and 14, it simply says this: "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Now, I'm going to start with that last phrase, "to the praise of his glory." Paul is talking there, and he's saying, folks, I am fired up. This is the Most High God, and we are excited for what we have in him. You know why he was so excited? Because there was two different groups of people. Paul went to Ephesus, and when he started there, he went to the Jews and went to their synagogue. And he got things started there, sharing Christ, and they accepted Christ. But it didn't stay there. He couldn't stay long when he got started. He left Apollo there, and Apollo kept the work going until Paul could go back and eventually spent 3 years there. But the thing about it was this: Paul was dealing with people who were trapped in the prison of worshiping idols. Ephesus there was the home to Artemis, Diana, right? That Greek goddess. And these people, their lives were completely entangled and enmeshed in what they had to do to serve her, to worship her. But it was also a very rewarding thing. A lot of silversmiths there, a lot of people made idols, right? Even their coins in Ephesus had engraved on them temple guardians. This was a big deal. Now, Ephesus was no small thing. It was the second biggest city at that time in the Roman Empire. Huge commerce, right? They were right on the Mediterranean Sea there, and it was one of the main arteries through the north corner of the Mediterranean Sea that people had to travel on. So there was people coming from far and wide. Huge cosmopolitan area. Very wealthy. They had a stadium there that would sit about 24,000 people. And they'd fill that thing, just pack it up, and they had live plays there. It was just an incredible thing. They had everything. They had spas there and baths there. They had a library there. They were highly advanced culture. These people were the muckety-mucks of their day. And when Paul came into that town, and the Lord himself came crashing down into it. All of a sudden, these people found their whole world's turned upside down. Because guys who had made large sums of money and had a great wealthy lifestyle could no longer make the idols that they sold. Right? They didn't worship some goddess. They worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one and only true God. And it cost them. It was a very, very costly situation for them. So this is an incredible situation they came into. But folks, we live in the United States, and somebody says, wow, we're the most free country in the whole world, right? How are you talking about prison to us? What's your prison? Are you caught trying to chase the American dream? Right? Bigger house, bigger boats, bigger wardrobes. What, you know what I mean? Right? Are you really worshiping God? Are you really tied into him? So what Paul's talking about here, he says this. There's a few different words in here. He says, you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, when you believed, and then you were marked with a seal. So this is something that happened in the past. So he's talking to people that have received the promise of salvation, but there's a sequence there, isn't there? Right? So Paul talks to us and he said, hey, look at this. People have to hear the truth. Then after they hear the truth, they have to put their belief in that truth. And for these people, it wasn't just simply an acknowledgement of, oh yeah, maybe the gods that we worship, and this one specifically in our hometown, isn't like the best one, so we're going to try this one out over here. No, these people sold out to it. God reached into their lives. He came crashing in with the reality of the truth, and they were transformed. They were no longer what they had been, which was prisoners. They were now free. And so he says a couple other things too. He says two different things. One, that he's going to leave a seal with them, and another is a deposit. Now, when someone says seal, it's pretty easy for us to kind of look at that. In today's world, we would look at maybe an envelope, right? And you could put a seal on the back of it when you lick it and seal it up, then you put a seal on top of that. And what does that do? Right? It just shows when it arrives that no one's tampered with it, right? But it also can mark who sent that, doesn't it? Well, that's exactly what Jesus was talking about here. He said, hey, I'm going to mark you with a seal so that people know this. They know, one, okay, that you're the genuine article. You are the real deal. Okay, number two, it's going to protect you in transit. So from the time I put the seal on until the time you reach your final destination, people will know that this seal is not your seal of yourself. This seal is my seal on your life. And they will know that you are a representative of me. And that's the third part of the seal. It means exactly that. You have, as a person sealed by God's Holy Spirit, you have a standing before God. Right? You have a standing before God and therefore before men. Does it mean they will respect you all the time? Not at all. But it doesn't mean that the seal goes away or does not hold its value, worth, or power. Right? So that's the part of this, the thing that we want to look at is the seal this morning. The other thing is a deposit. Now, when I think of deposit, you know, being a dad, I kind of feel like a portable ATM, right? When the kids are growing up, you make deposits, and then people are constantly withdrawing from you, right? But that's not really what he's talking about here, okay? A deposit there is like a business transaction. So they're gonna come alongside you and realize that, okay, God has started a transaction with you, and he has made a deposit in you, and that deposit's a guarantee. Now, we would understand that, like, for example, if you're going to buy a home, right? You drop a contract, you make a deposit, a down payment, you put so much down on your house, and then over a period of time, you will pay that off. But that initial deposit is a guarantee that you can pay the balance when it's due. Make sense? Okay, so that's exactly what he's talking about here. So there's this incredible deposit that's made into our lives that guarantees that the balance will be paid when our journey is done. Isn't that cool? All right, now here's another part about that. The deposit is also this. Don't miss this. For you and I, it's the very first deposit of our inheritance. You and I when we asked Jesus Christ to be our Savior, became what Romans says, joint heirs with Him in eternity. See, it's not just a matter-of-fact thing. I am a son of the living God. I am a son of the Creator of the universe. I am a son of the power that oversees, overshadows, and overcomes everything. Is that cool? And ladies, your daughters too. Right? This is something that's so amazing that God not only saves us, but then He sets us on our way with this seal and this deposit that He's made in our life. But I don't want to skip too far ahead without giving an opportunity here. If you could pull up the Ephesians 2 verse. Has anybody here memorized these verses? Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10? For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Why? So no one can brag. So no one can brag. We've heard our pastor say this all the time. When you come to the foot of the cross, it is level playing field. He does not care whether you're young or old, right? What color you are, if you drink caffeinated or decaf. He does not care, right? What He wants is for you to become a member of His family. He wants to rescue you once and for all from the prison that you were born into, that prison of fallenness, where your spirit, right, is separated from Him because of the sinful nature that we're born with. And we have forgiveness of that, and we have transport from that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's it. End of story. No works. Now, verse 10 says this, but what? For we are God's, and what did He do? According to what He already knew, beforehand, He appointed for us to do good works. All right. Now, could you flip up that one more slide for me, Craig? Thanks. I think this is really important for us to understand. You know, in the culture that this was being spoken to in that day, these guys had all kinds of gods and goddesses that they worshipped. I mean, it was like a bad soap opera, all the crazy weirdnesses and stuff. But we as Christians, we understand this thing. God is triune. And in its essence, every part of that Trinity is equal. Right? So we have God the Father, but we as, and for us, in some part, in some way, we look at it because of our perspective that we come to Him from, we see them as a submissive or subordinate to one another. And just let me explain that real quickly here. We see God the Father as the Creator, right? And then Jesus the Son as the Redeemer of that. Okay? It's triunity. But then He introduces this third person to us called the Holy Spirit. And this is not just a manifestation, different manifestations of Himself. These are three individual persons that make up this triune God. They work in perfect harmony, and it's something that we all should strive for in our relationships, right? Is to work in harmony with this. Why? Because as brothers and sisters in Christ, this binds us together just as it binds them. Okay, now, here's the thing. As brothers and sisters in Christ that are imperfect and incomplete and on the journey, not yet having arrived, we got to tolerate each other too a little bit, don't we? Right? We need to put up with one another. Okay? And whether that's at home, moms with dads, dads with moms, with kids, right? Kids with parents, right? Or for us working together. Like even this week at church, it's going to be hectic around here. All those little rugrats running around, it's going to be awesome, but it's going to be crazy. And we're going to be like possibly stepping on one another's toes. And what do you have to do? We tolerate one another because of the call and the cause that we're serving, the goals and the work that we're participating in. Right? So I look at this. It was really fun because I'm a really visual guy, right? And I look at this and I go, hey, that's a really cool shape, that triangle. You know, I'm looking at that thing. And I thought, hey, this is kind of interesting because I've seen this. This is a really popular shape in our society right now. And I thought, hey, I just want a good visual for us to remember this, okay? I want us to really, really be able to take this home, and we walk out of here this morning, and we don't just forget it, but that we look at this and go, oh, that makes sense to me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to remember that, okay? So I hope this does that. But before I get to that part, I just want to do this. If you're here this morning, and you've never actually said, hey, you know what? I agree with God. I am a prisoner. I'm a prisoner of my own sin. I don't have to know you. You know you. God's talking to you right now. He can point out whatever he wants to that you need to convince yourself that you need him. But I'll tell you what. If you will simply do this, it's so simple because the hard part's been done. Jesus broke into that prison camp and laid on the wire for us, and we have that way of escape. If you'll just simply agree with God and ask him to save you and make you his son, he will do that. He will do that. It's really simple. Lord, I agree with you. I'm a sinner. I need to ask Jesus as the only Savior to be my Savior, and I want to be in your family. Right? If that's what you're willing to do, you say, I want to turn from where I'm at, and I want to be part of God's family, do it right now. You don't have to get up. There doesn't have to be any fanfare. No one has to hear you, right? Okay? But if you do make that decision this morning, come and talk to me after the service. Would you do that? Right? I don't want you to not, it's not to be kept a secret, okay? And here's why. If you've done that this morning, then you can participate in this next part. It's something that happened immediately, right? If we look back here at our original verse, right, it says, you were also included in Christ, right? It says, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit and guarantee, excuse me, when you believed, you were marked with him as a seal. So when you believed, you don't have to do anything extra to receive Jesus, to receive the Holy Spirit, but when you believe, the Holy Spirit comes as part of that package because that's God's identifying mark on your life, right? The seal on your life that you are his. Okay, so that's part of it. All right, so what does a seal look like? Okay. All kinds of things. See, we don't pursue the works for ourselves anymore. We pursue the work of our life to be God's mission, his plan. What's his plan? It's the redemption of everybody that doesn't know him yet. And he knows already in advance who's going to accept him and who's not. Our job is to make sure we're out there telling people about him. VBS is one way we do it. Experience is another way we do it. Community groups, life groups, ABFs, whatever. This is how we do it, all right? Making friends with our neighbors next door, sharing with them, bearing their burdens, right? These are all things that fit into that. So as you go out, and I know there's a lot of this that goes on because people in this church really love God, many evidences of that. But as you go out this week, I want you to be encouraged. And if you have accepted Christ your Savior, I just want you to think of this. This is something that's really, really cool, I think, that has come up recently, and I want to hijack it and make it ours. Is that okay? Can we do that this morning? I'm going to hijack this thing, and we're going to take it out of the world setting, and we're going to make it ours, kind of, okay? Can we do that? So I'm going to ask if Zach Kinder would come back up here. Zach, can you help me for a sec? All right. Josh, could you dim the lights for a second? Okay. So anybody see this? See that all right? Maybe recognize that sign a little bit. You know, I was looking at this and I thought, what's a great way that we can relate today based on our mania with superheroes, okay? That might be a good way for us to kind of go through this week and kind of think about this a little bit, all right? So this is Zach, and unbeknownst to all of you, could you stand like this for me for a second? Put your hand like that? Okay. Zach, he wears... He wears this cape of anonymity as much as he can, but I was walking around, and I'm thinking, this has got to be his, right? This has got to be his. So just tell me if you think this works. We're dancing in church. All right. There you go. That's yours. Take it home.
Oh, thank you.
All right,
you.
There you go. All right, thanks, Zach. Thanks. Go ahead. I did not get permission from Marvel, so it doesn't look exactly like anything they do. But the comic book thing is just huge. As a kid, I loved reading them, and it's been like my wildest dreams come true to see these really high computer graphic image movies come out. Loved it thoroughly. But that is the power source for Iron Man, if you want to follow up on that if you don't know. I saw Rob Madsen back there doing this. Yeah, a little AC/DC, Rob's on board. But it was really fun this week, and I just thought the Lord gave that to me. I thought, hey, every time I see that, what am I thinking? The Father, Creator, Jesus, my Redeemer, and now the Holy Spirit that lives in me is my power source for every week. How can I lose? I cannot lose, right? You can get up and live in victory every day. I don't care what it is that has beset you. And maybe, you know what? You say, hey, listen, I'm still struggling. Good. Come alongside us. Be here. Be part of it. Jump on board. Become part of the bandwagon, all right? This is a family. There's always room for one more, right? So if you have, I hope you've been blessed this morning. I hope God's word has kind of come home to you in a new way. But this is just an introduction. And Ron's going to continue to unpack this for us next week, okay? So let's pray and wrap this up, and then we'll get ready for VBS. And I just thank each one of you for being here today. And if you're visiting with us today, don't disappear. We've got a second hour, and there's something for everybody, okay? So stay and get connected. Your host team will take care of you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this book of Ephesians. We thank you that these believers in Ephesians and in Ephesus realized that they were the same as the Jews before God. They just needed to accept the Savior. And Father, if there's somebody here this morning, or many that have never done that, we just pray that as you convict them and you speak to their heart, that they would just have humility to agree with you. But Father, they'd have strength to come and talk afterwards. Just don't, so they wouldn't keep it secret. Father, it's not, being part of the family is not about being secretive. Father, just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, this is a great brick and mortar building you got here. But Father, we know we are the temple. The Holy Spirit is within each one of us. And Father, we just put ourselves before you this morning as a congregation. Lord, there's so much that you're doing here. There's so much you're doing in each of us individually as we reach out to others. Lord, this is going to be an incredible week for VBS. And Lord, there's more coming this fall. We're excited about what you're doing here. And Father, we just want to be on page with you. So Lord, please, we desperately, earnestly, confidently as children, come to you today as our Father. And we thank you, and we bring these prayers and praises and requests to you. And we do this in Christ's strong name. Amen.